And we were talking about the thoughts of God and the ways of God and the thoughts of man and the ways of man. And so I'd like to carry through that study a little bit farther. And I'd like to start in Genesis chapter 6, if you would. So we'll go to Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, I believe. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil and continually. And like I said, we talked about the thoughts and we talked about the ways. I'd like to talk about this word, the imaginations. The imaginations of the thoughts of the heart. I looked up the word imagination in Scripture, and it's mentioned. Actually, imagination is mentioned 14 times, and imaginations with an S is mentioned 6 times, a total of 20 times. Out of that 20 times, one time the content of it is neutral, one time the content of it is positive, and the other 18 times, or 90%, is negative. And it has to do with vanity. And it has to do with evil in the imaginations. Man's imaginations primarily are vain or evil. And now, when you read the context of this, it tells you that the imaginations are either against a man or they're against God. The imaginations of the heart that are either vain or evil are against God. If you would, let's go to Acts chapter 18. I was going to go here first, but I'll go there now. Acts chapter 18 kind of prompts me when I think about doing a Bible study, this particular verse. We'll start in verse 24, Acts chapter 18, verse 24. It says, and there was a certain Jew named Apollos. And so this is takes place in the book of Acts during the apostolic times. And Apollos, who was born in Alexandria, eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. Verse 25 says, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. I'd like to be there. He was being fervent in the spirit. It's what I would have for myself. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but knowing only the baptism of John. He knew from Genesis to John, but he didn't know the grace of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He hadn't got that far yet. And verse 26 says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. And this is where I start my studies. And they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Okay? And this is where I'd like to go in a Bible study. The way of God more perfectly. You just keep studying, and he's going to show you something. And he shows you something, and he'll show you something more. If you study it, and you look at it, and you desire it, and you apply it, God gives you more. More perfectly. And so we're studying this, the thoughts of the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the thoughts of man and his ways, and these imaginations. Imaginations are the cause of all false and cultic religions. It's not of God. A man imagined it. He made it up. Now, there may be other things that brought it to a point, but it's strictly the imagination of a man. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 5 go into that when you're talking about Cain and Abel. And Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering, which was supposed to be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abel brought the yearling of the flock, which is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cain's problem was that he was bringing his own works, imagining that this was the thing that God wanted, when God already told him, that's not what I want. And we don't see that, we don't read that, but it's evident that the Lord had spoke to them to bring an offering to him. And so all cultic and false religions start way back with works in the beginning of the Bible, and they're still there. It's the imaginations of their own thoughts of their own heart. They're vain and evil. All dictators and political wars are because of the imaginations of a man's heart. All right? We get into that. If you would, we'll look at this one in Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, verses 12. Well, I think 1 and 2 is what I had. Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Okay? Their own thoughts. The kings of the earth, that's the rulers, the political rulers, set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That's Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a believer in Jesus Christ, okay? And the heathen rages because of the imagination of his own mind, and he has vain things and evil things against the fellow man and against God. If you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at the other part of this scripture concerning the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll start in verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, because we live in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. And Paul's going to bring in a concept here that I don't believe I've seen before in the New Testament, and it's spiritual warfare. All the Old Testament was physical warfare. And they fought against countries and people and so forth. But Paul's going to bring in a concept here of spiritual warfare. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here's chapter or verse 5 says, casting down imaginations. These imaginations that were in verse 6 or chapter 6 in Genesis, in the very beginning of things, the imaginations and the thoughts of man's heart were evil, they're wicked, and they're vain. And so Paul says the spiritual warfare for the believer in the New Testament is not carnal, but it's spiritual. And to the spiritual aspect of casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. We're talking about the thoughts of man and the thoughts of God, and here we enter in the imaginations. I would like to look at the spiritual aspect of things, okay? So I'm looking at the spirit, and I'm looking up spirit in the Bible, and spirit's mentioned a little bit over 400 times, about 450 times. And it matches the things that go along with the kings and the kingdoms that are mentioned in the Bible. And I see that there are three living spirits that influence a man. Now, there's many, and we're going to go into a few of them, but there are three living spirits. The first is God. God's spirit influences man's thoughts, okay? And he does that through our conscience. God made man a spirit, a soul, and a body. We're three things. And he did this for a particular reason. And he plays this reason out when we look in God's word. And one of the things is that man's spirit is led by God's spirit through our conscience. And you can read all about the conscience in the New Testament. Paul mentions it quite a few times. And so man's thoughts are influenced by God's spirit, in man's spirit, through his conscience. Um, Our spirit is led by God's, and it's supposed to lead our soul. We have a soul, and in the soul, that's where our mind and our emotions and our will is. So we have God leads us, our spirit leads our soul, and then our soul leads our body, and that's the order of progression that works. We can do it any way we want, but the order of progression works. God's spirit, our soul, our mind, our will, our and then our body, our hands, our feet, our eyes. I think of the example that the Lord Jesus Christ gave when there was the man that was sick of the palsy, and they couldn't get to see Jesus, so they ripped off the roof of the house that he was in, and they lowered him down with a rope, and Jesus said he saw their faith, okay? And this is how the world is supposed to see us, our good works, our faith, through being led through the spirit and through the soul and then our body. Because no man can look into our spirit or our soul, only God, not even the devil. He can't look into our spirit and our soul, but he does possess people's bodies. He does oppress people. He does all kinds of evil things. So the second influence is man. We have God who is an influence on man's thoughts, and man himself is an influence. Our friends, our family, others, the pastor, preacher, things like that. And man himself influences himself, right or wrong. The third living influence is the devil. The devil is a spirit. He's a cherub. He was a created spirit. God made him a created spirit. The devil has children. The Bible says so. And those children influence us, whether we can know that they are devils or not. The devil has ministering spirits, which are fallen angels, and they influence our thoughts. The devil has unclean spirits. The devil even uses animals. I mean, didn't the unclean spirit that Jesus casted out of the demon, the maniac of Gadara, didn't they say they wanted to go into a herd of swine? And the Lord said, okay. And they went into an animal. And then they went over the cliff and drowned. I see the Lord uses animals too. I mean, he has ministering spirits, angels, God himself that influence us. And I mean, he'll even use a Democrat, right? Right? Because it said the dumbass spake unto Balaam, right? Actually, I think he said he made the ass speak, okay? I added the dumb part. But then I was talking about Democrats, so we'll have to let it go at that. So I'm going to go through some spirits that the Bible mentions. Out of the 400, I have here 22 or 23. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. We're not going to look them up. I'm just going to go through them. But as I was going through them, every one I said I could do a Bible study on, or you could. Every one of these could be a Bible study in itself, or for one study or two or three or however many, the Lord just keeps moving it along. So I mentioned there's at least 400 times the spirits mentioned in Scripture, and the first spirit that I think I would look at is the spirit of discernment. Because if you have the spirit of discernment, now you can look at all the other spirits in the way that God intends it. I do not have the spirit of discernment. It's a gift. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says the spirit of discernment is a gift of God through the Holy Spirit. And some people have that gift. I believe Pastor has the gift of discernment. And he can see it. He can see evil. He can see good. Discernment is just judging. I looked that up. And in 1 Kings 3, when Solomon is about to take over the kingdom from King David, he prays and he asks God to help him have discernment so he can judge the people. And God said, because you didn't ask for wealth or you didn't ask for your enemy, or you didn't ask for your life. He said, I'm going to give you the spirit of discernment. And he said, it's judgment, judging good and evil. Now, we all have a certain amount of that, but there is a gift of it, and we actually have to work at it. We have to work at it. It's something you have to work at. Develop a skill, any trade, anything you do, you have to work at to be proficient at it. If you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see what verse. Verse 14. Now, we want the spirit of discernment. It's a gift. But if we don't have the gift, we work at it and we acquire it and we apply it in our life. Verse 14 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, that's a non-believer, a Gentile, a heathen. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A lost man doesn't have it, doesn't have the discernment that he needs to follow God's leading and be what would please God in his walk in this life. But the believer can, the believer does and should, and we should work at it. Yeah. Yes. So Romans 12:12 says that we're supposed to be renewed in our mind. We're supposed to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is working at this discernment. And Ephesians 5:26 says, it's the washing of the water of the word that cleans your mind and it gives you discernment. We have to have God's word in us constantly to get to this point of where it pleases the Lord. So I'm going to look at some of the spirits mentioned in the Bible that if we have the spirit of discernment, we can look at some of these spirits and see where they go. The Bible says there's a spirit of the world, and we need to know that. Because the world is enmity or enemy of God, all right? And we need to know where the world comes in and where it stops and where it starts. There's a spirit of bondage, okay? That's to sin. There's a spirit of fear, but we don't need it because we can call the Lord Abba Father, it says. There's a spirit of slumber. That's laziness. There's a spirit of whoredoms. And that is just fornication running rampant. And it's a spirit, and the Bible speaks of it. The gifts I mentioned, or some of them, there's a spirit of power of God. There's a spirit of promise. There's a spirit of truth. There's a spirit of wisdom. These things we should know. Man is born of the Spirit of God. We're born again, right? Man is sealed with the Spirit. Man can be filled with the Spirit. Man lives in the Spirit. He is led of the Spirit. Should be fervent of Spirit. The Spirit should bear fruit. And we have the newness of the Spirit every day. Every day is a new day. God gives us so gracious to give us a new day to start all over. I was reprehensible in my thinking yesterday. I just couldn't stand myself. And I thought, this is wrong. This isn't right. You know, I don't know why, but had a good night's sleep, thought about a few things, read my Bible, got up this morning, said, new day. We're not going there. New day. We're doing something different. We're going there. It's just going to be completely different. I'm going to not let myself fall into that rut. The newness of the Spirit. So the Bible says, try the spirits because there's another spirit. There's an evil spirit. There's an unclean spirit. There are seducing spirits. And there's the spirit of the prince of the power of the air, the devil. He's always there. That spirit is always there. So we know a little bit about the devil. The devil has a subtle spirit. He's cunning and sly. That was what took place in Genesis chapter 3 with Eve. It says the devil is a wily spirit. He's a deceiver. And the devil is our spiritual adversary. He's there to devour men. As a roaring lion, he's a destroyer of mankind. So I'm going to actually close on this. I got a few verses we'll look up on. But concerning the Spirit, if you would, go to 1 Thessalonians. It's easy for me to say, 5:19. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. How do you do that? Well, you start up here in verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Don't do those things. Go all the way to 23, and it actually ends in 24. If you don't do those things, you quench the Spirit. The opposite of that is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where it says that we quench the fiery darts of Satan when we wear the whole armor of God, right? Truth, righteousness, salvation, the gospel, faith, the shield of faith, and the sword, which is the word of God. Those quench the fiery darts of Satan, of the devil. And we're not to quench the Spirit, but we're to quench His spirit in our spirit. If you would go to Ephesians 4:30. Says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And we can do that. If we go back to Genesis chapter 6, which we read in the first verse about the thoughts and the intents of the man, of the hearts of man, in verse 6 it said that God was grieved in the heart because of the wickedness of man. So we can grieve not only ourselves, but we grieve God. And it says don't do that. And finally in Ephesians, we'll go to 4:23. We're talking about the Spirit. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Right? We're talking about the influences on the spirit of man. It's God's influence, man himself, and the devil influences us. And it tells us to not give place to the devil by being renewed in your spirit. By just reading and studying and applying God's word to your life. It seems simple. It's not simple. It's not simple for me. It's everyday thing, every day, a challenge. If you like a challenge, enjoy a challenge, whether it's your work, your career, raising a family, your sporting activity, whatever. The challenge of skiing down a great slope, challenge of catching a monster bass, right? Right? If you enjoy a challenge, here's a challenge. God's word. Challenge us every day to do the things that please God and make us in the sight of God to do good works. And to walk just to please God. So I'm going to close on that. And we'll go through maybe some more of this next week. Lord, we do thank you for your great love, for your great goodness, for your many blessings. And for all that you give us out of your word through the power of your spirit, through the leading of it, Lord. And may we daily please you, get closer and closer and closer. And Lord, we just pray for the day you come. I'm ready, and I pray it was today, if that be your will, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.